the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News, now with Sal Manella.
Good evening, this is Sal Manella with the Veritas News. With recent GOP epidemic of amnesia among its Alabama members, in conjunction with the Trump administration's preponderance of consumer protection rollbacks, the General Motors Corporation has announced it will move all its operations and headquarters to Mobile. The CEO claims moving to the city is a, quote, no-brainer, end quote, given the city's name, evoking, of course, vehicular movement. But corporate watchdogs suspect that recent evidence that Alabamans, especially male Alabamans, have lost their ability to remember is the real reason. Alabaman and Attorney General Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions can't seem to remember meeting the multitude of Russians evidence now shows he has met while colluding for the Trump campaign. United States senatorial candidate Judge Roy Moore's memory lapse regarding sexual encounters with children. And finally, Trump's nominee for federal judge in Alabama, Brett Talley, who seems to have forgotten the disqualifying fact that his wife is now and has been a lawyer for the White House, are all clear signs that, at least in Alabama, males in positions of authority have lost their memory. Critics of General Motors point out that moving to Alabama with the preponderance of male amnesia victims, along with Trump's killing of consumer safety protections, will save billions of dollars in administrative and legal costs whenever their cars fail. They say GM corporate managers who in other states might instruct consumers to return unsafe and malfunctioning vehicles to dealerships for free repair in Alabama simply can't recall the autos. Meanwhile, a video has emerged of the then 32-year-old Alabama District Attorney Roy Moore gyrating and twerking in the face of a giggling 14-year-old girl while she sat on a bench at a mall. Roy Moore doesn't recall the incident. Critics of the GOP senatorial candidate are calling it just another among the many examples of Moore's lapse stance. This has been Sal Manella with the Veritas News. Now here's Tom Savino with Savino Veritas.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Are you on the spectrum? The sexual harassment, sexual abuser spectrum, that is. If you are a male, the answer may surprise you. If you lack a Y chromosome, you're probably not surprised at all. This is your host, Tom Savino. You're listening to Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes. Enjoy this Savino Veritas Radio Hour, which comes to you every Thursday live from Burbank, California, by way of our friends in Canada at SRN1, right here at 148.ca/1. 148.ca/1. And of course, as always, 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com. Juicedtalk.com.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
Everything but the truth. Everything's gonna change. Everything but the truth. All right, I apologize. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize unreservedly. I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
Regular listeners of Savina Veritas know that Senator Al Franken occupies a hero's throne here in the pantheon of Veritas featured participants. Last Christmas, we featured Al in a bit called Frankincense and Mirth. And our writers were busy writing another segment for this holiday, Christmas season. Earlier today, Leanne Tweeden of KABC Radio, right here in Los Angeles, accused Al Franken of sexual assault back in 2006, 3 years before he became a United States Senator. Al, Leanne, and others were performing a USO show for the holidays for the troops stationed in the Middle East in 2006. It was Leanne's eighth USO show. At the time, the person who is her husband now, Chris, was her boyfriend, an Air Force pilot then. Franken wrote a script in which he and Leanne were supposed to kiss. According to her revelation, the skits were, quote, were full of sexual innuendo geared toward a young male audience, end quote. Leanne claims that having read the script, which included the action of her being kissed by Al, she decided it would be funnier if instead of kissing Franken, when he came in for the landing, so to speak, of their lips, she'd put her hand up and turn away rejecting him. Al wasn't told of her change in approach and kept pressuring her to, quote, rehearse, end quote, the kiss backstage. Before the skit was performed for the troops, she resisted. Franken, she says, insisted. It's what professional actors do, rehearse, she claims, he said. Leanne says, quote, relax, Al, this isn't Saturday Night Live, end quote. Apparently, she hadn't been too familiar with SNL, which was and is famous for not rehearsing. Al persisted, and she claims she relented and agreed to rehearse. Rehearsing the kiss backstage, she claims Al Franken held the back of her head forcibly and forcibly stuck his tongue in her mouth. She pushed him away, she says, and said, quote, I told him that if he ever did that to me again, I wouldn't be so nice about it next time, end quote. During the actual show, she rejected his kiss the way she had planned initially. She didn't mention if her rejection got bigger laughs, as she suggested it would, than the actual kiss. Later after the show, when she fell asleep backstage, Al Franken, grinning, grabbed her breasts and had someone take a photo of him doing that. You can see that photo on the KABC Radio website. Leanne Tweeden doesn't think it was funny that Al Franken cupped his hands over her breast while she was sleeping. To be clear, Miss Tweeden at the time was dressed in full combat gear, including a bulletproof flak vest, which covered her chest. But to be clear, too, she was sleeping and clearly did not want anyone to be touching her breasts at that moment of total vulnerability. Al Franken was married at the time. He was 3 years from becoming an elected United States Senator for the state of Minnesota. Leanne Tweeden just let the whole thing go, but says today, she's not afraid to reveal what happened. Here's Senator Franken's response. The first thing I want to do is apologize to Leanne, to everyone else who was part of that tour, to everyone who has worked for me, to everyone I represent, to everyone who counts on me to be an ally and supporter and champion of women. There's more I want to say, but the first and most important thing, and if it's the only thing that you can hear, that's fine. That is, I'm sorry. I respect women. I don't respect men who don't. And the fact that my own actions have given people a good reason to doubt that makes me feel ashamed. But I want to say something else, too. Over the last few months, all of us, including and especially men who respect women, have been forced to take a good, hard look at our own actions and think, perhaps shamefully for the first time, about how those actions have affected women. For instance, that picture. I don't know what was in my head when I took that picture. And it doesn't matter. There's no excuse. I look at it now and I feel disgusted with myself. It isn't funny. It's completely inappropriate. It's obvious how Leanne would feel violated by that picture. And what's more, I can see how millions of other women would feel violated by it. Women who have had similar experiences in their own lives, women who fear having their experiences, those women who look up to me, women who have counted on me. Coming from the world of comedy, I've told and written a lot of jokes that I once thought were funny, but later came to realize were just plain offensive. But the intentions behind my actions aren't the point at all. It's the impact these jokes had on others that matters. And I'm sorry it's taken me so long to come to terms with that. While I don't remember the rehearsal for the skit as Leanne does, I understand why we need to listen to and believe women's experiences. I am asking that an ethics investigation be undertaken, and I will gladly cooperate. And the truth is, what people think of me in light of this is far less important than what people think of women who continue to come forward to tell their stories. They deserve to be heard and believed, and they deserve to know that I am their ally and supporter. I have let them down and am committed to making it up to them. End quote, Al Franken. Now, there are many differences to Al Franken's misdeed and Roy Moore and President Trump's sexual aggressions. Trump, as self-proclaimed star and billionaire, and Moore, as a district attorney, wielded power over women. Also, in Moore's case, the women weren't women, but 14 to 16-year-old girls. Secondly, Trump walked into models' dressing rooms at a pageant he produced and paid for and had control over, and Moore walked around the mall searching for teens. Neither Trump nor Moore was entertaining the troops in Middle East for free. Franken was. That being said, let's be clear that I am in no way letting Franken off the hook. He himself seems to be willing to take the heat. Which, finally, brings us to heat. To say more on that issue, comic Bill the Bull Testosterone muses, are all men, as he puts it, on the spectrum of sexual abusers? Let's join him at Boffo's in Brooklyn now.
Boffo's in Brooklyn welcomes Bill the Bull Testosterone.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? How you doing? How you doing, Brooklyn? Happy holidays. Happy holidays, people. Yeah, happy holidays. I'd say Merry fucking Christmas. He's declared that the rest of the world has declared war on Christmas. Really? It's more of a police action, I think, than a war. I'm just trying not to offend anyone who isn't Christian, that's it. And maybe not to be so gung-ho with using the name of Christ. For those of you who are not so religious, you know, but who still likes to acknowledge and share the joy of the season with everyone. You know what? F you, Mr. So-called President Derelict T-Rope. F you. I don't know when this show will air, but it'll be sometime in the time range between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and Merry Christmas ain't gonna cut it time-wise. I'm surprised Twitter doubled the character limitations from 140 to 280. Like what? We've got more time on our hands. I don't. What if we're going to find a time to lengthen my tweets? How am I going to find it? I'm going to have to check my pie chart and see if I can squeeze in a couple of more seconds and minutes for the 280-character tweets now. Might have to deduct a couple of hours a week for sleeping or exercise to get in bigger tweets. And Trump, of course, was always obsessed with Twitter and tweeting, even before there was a Twitter. Did you know that? Back in his high school prep days, he submitted an original play. He supposedly wrote on his own. I doubt it, though, because he kept telling other students, believe me, I wrote it. Anyway, the drama teacher rejected it on account of not being enough room on the stage to produce it. Trump wrote the lines for 140 characters, for God's sake. How did we get here, America? How the hell did we get here? I mean, it becomes a big effing deal to greet somebody, a big deal to wish you well. When did happy holidays become death to you, damn Americans, death to you? Well, we are all contestants, it seems, on a secret Russian reality TV show. And we don't even know it. We get our lines, our script from Facebook and Twitter. And a great dictator is Putin. And when he yells, cut, that's not a direction to stop. Instead, his call to cut is a call to slash, deep, lacerate, stab to the hilt our fellow American on the other side of the aisle. When he says cut, he means keep the cameras running and focused on the conflict. Because that's how he rolls, so to speak. Putin dividing and conquering us, feeding our own hatred toward each other. We need to unite. We need to unite. Both sides need to unite in order to beat Putin. We need something, some topic we can all agree on. Something that we can all agree on, something that's happening today, I don't know. Searching the social landscape right now, there seems to be only one issue upon which we can all agree. Mostly, at least. And that's sexual abuse. What a thing to unite is sexual abuse. Men, we've become remarkably agreeable on this subject lately. Have you noticed? Publicly, we're agreeing with women accusers of guys like Roy Moore running for U.S. Senate in Alabama. Now, there's a genius. He's the Alabama asshole who pulls out a pistol at a campaign rally. That's the guy. Roy Moore pulls out a pistol at a campaign rally. That's not so bad with the base in Alabama. The most money-hungry TV producers won't film reality shows there anymore because their audience would rather see contestant losers shot, killed, and stuffed than to vote them off the island. So Moore pulling out a pistol is not that newsworthy. But his stupidity is evidence with the display of that pistol. That, friends, was the world's smallest pistol. Out there, held up in the air for the whole world to see. His widow pistol. Look, the whole stunt was geared to exhibit male sexual power, right? Isn't that what it's all about? And what would make your testosterone-driven, hate-generated base more excited than a good old boy whipping out the world's smallest pistol? It just didn't work, I don't think. I got him in deeper trouble, too. The women coming forward with accusations of more sexually abusing them when they were in their teens and in the mall and he was in his 30s. Because that all gives a whole new meaning to the word sexually mauled. Forget about it. We're all able to corroborate the descriptions of Moore, the little dick, so to speak, because of his whittled pistol. Now, some so-called journalist in Alabama, I know, journalist in Alabama is an oxymoronic. It's oxymoronic. What was super moronic was this newspaper writer in Alabama saying more sexual abuse of these teens would be no worse than the misdemeanor of his stealing a lawnmower, had he done so. Stealing a lawnmower and sexual abuse. Equating sexual abuse and pedophilia with stealing a lawnmower puts a whole new light on Blade Runner, I think. Speaking of which, we've come a long, long way in hot, artificially intelligent bots. Yeah, bots. That's Sari Sophia, she's citizen now. For Allah's sake. I'd hit that. And that's the thing, friends. That's the thing. I'd hit that. I'd hit anything that moves. I'm not saying I'd engaged in sexual abuse. No, I'm not saying. I never whipped out my pistol in front of a woman who didn't want to see it. Well, I can't recall. It's like Alabama amnesia between Sessions and more. I can't recall. You know, those people could never get a job at a General Motors because in case they had to recall cars that would never be able to. To be honest, the range of misdeeds from sexual harassment like lewd comments to sexual abuse like rape, I guess truly, let's say, I'm on the spectrum, I guess. I was seriously under treatment for sexual addiction. Yeah, really, seriously. Okay, don't look at me like that. I bring that up only because, according to my therapist for that treatment, we are all somewhere on the spectrum of bisexuality. He asked me, where would you say you fall on the scale from 1 to 9, with 0 being totally straight and 10 being totally gay? What happened to 1 and 10, I asked. He said, no one is totally straight and no one is totally gay. So not being totally okay with falling on any number on that spectrum, at least at the time, I said, 1. But, so to speak, I wasn't being totally straight, so to speak, frankly. Honestly, I got an erection when he spread his legs Sharon Stone-like wearing that short skirt. And at that moment, if anyone could be a 10 on that scale, it was he with his RuPaul sequins and mascara and all that. And had he asked me then, I would have fallen on any number on that scale at that moment, even face down. Hey, but come on, man. Now forget about it, come on. Are we helping at all not being honest? We're not being honest. Not being truthful about our drives and sexuality, forget about it. And ladies, you've got to know, we have to fight every fucking minute of our lives so that we're not fucking every fucking minute of our lives. We're trying to. That's the truth. Maybe the answer is sex bots. Seriously. With or without citizenship, maybe men, we need sex bots in order to really refrain from initiating unwanted sexcapades with women in their workplace, in schools, on the subway. Sex bots, maybe that's the answer. Yeah, here's an idea. That Judge Moore, the man for whom we'd all like to see less, maybe he would have had an entirely different development had he access to a sex bot instead of a 14-year-old girl at the mall when he was 32. And maybe that sex bot, like Saudi Arabia's Hot Sophia, would have been Muslim. Maybe she would have been Muslim, that sex bot. And being Muslim and having sex with her, Moore would be more than sympathetic to the plight of members of Islam. Forget about it. And maybe, just maybe, enjoying that sex instead of screaming out, God, God, at the climax, Sophia would have taught him to scream, Allah, Allah. And maybe he would have insisted the courtroom display the Quran instead of the Ten Commandments. And maybe, just maybe, just maybe, just maybe, today we wouldn't object to this bigoted pedophile taking over a U.S. Senate seat in what is now the fine, esteemed, sudden state of Alabama, Alabama. Hey, this is Bill the Bull Testosterone. Great American cheese again, everybody.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
You're listening to Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, W-H-I-N-E, in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes, right here on SRN1's 148.ca/1. Remember, after the show, you can catch all of the Savino Veritas episodes 24/7 on juicedtalk.com. That's juicedtalk.com. JUICEDtalk.com. Also on Juice Talk, the purveyors of the most unique menagerie of broadcasters, at least on this planet, you may hear Up All Night with the Artist D and Anne Marie. The Artist D's fabulous show, Transistor with Velvet Steel, and the godfather of internet radio himself, Frank Cotolo, and Cotolo Chronicles, which of course can be heard live just before this show every Thursday night on SRN1 at 148.ca/1. Additionally, catch Frank Cotolo and me, Tom Savino, on juicetalk.com and enjoy most of the unearthed restored episodes of our 1970s weekly comedy radio show, Dead Air, the original Dead Air. I know Frank will agree with me, Frank Cotolo will agree with me, that Abbott and Costello, and especially the Abbott and Costello TV show, were influential. You can hear a bit of Abbott and Costello in Cotolo and Savino's Dead Air. Well, tonight, right here, you can hear Abbott and Costello. I'll play as many bits as I can tonight, but we're especially looking at how similar Abbott and Costello's math is to that of the GOP, now GROP, Greedy Russian Ops, especially when trying to figure out the GOP's math in the new tax plan. Let's go to Bud and Lou to figure this out.
I'm getting so now I don't like this business. I mean, after all, I don't know why she puts in front of my face all the time.
What are you beefing about now?
In front of your face once in a while.
What's wrong with you?
You want all these kids to come in here to think I'm a dope?
That's the way they're going out.
If you don't ask me any more of those stupid things you ask me a nice, easy one, something I can answer.
You can't answer it.
Ask me.
Will you answer it? All right, say you're 40 years old.
Who's 40?
Just pretend you're 40 years old.
I'm a boy.
All right, you're...
I'm a little boy.
Say you're 40 years old and you're in love with a little girl, say, 10 years old.
This one's going to be a pip.
Now, well, wait till I finish it, will you, please?
You got a good idea where I'm going to wind up.
Now, wait a minute. All right, forget about that. You're 40, she's 10, you're 4 times as old as that little girl. You couldn't marry her, could you?
Not unless I came from the mountains.
Hey, well, will you keep quiet till I finish it? Now, you're 40, she's 10. You're 4 times as old as that girl. So you wait 5 years. Now, the little girl is 15, you're 45. Now, you're only 3 times as old as that little girl. So you wait 15 years more. Now the little girl is 30. You're 60. You're only twice as old as that little girl.
Hey, she's catching up.
Yes. How long do you have to wait before you and the little girl are the same age? Now that's simple enough. Tell the folks. Show them how smart you are.
I think the whole thing is ridiculous.
What's ridiculous about it?
I mean, after all, if I keep waiting for her, she'll wind up older than me.
What do you mean?
I mean, she'll wind up older than me, and then she'll have to wait for me.
Why should she wait for you?
I was nice enough to wait for her.
What are you talking about?
Well, if the girl wants to marry me, she'll wait for me.
Marry?
Yes.
Do you know this girl?
No.
Why should you marry a girl you don't even know?
Now, you stay there when Uncle Paul got away.
That's your brother?
Oh, no, it's not my brother, Mr. Bashkalope. He's just a cute little fellow we adopted.
He's a citizen?
Well, I don't think he's a citizen, is he?
No,
he don't come from this country.
You don't got no papers like me?
He ain't got no paper like you. Say, listen, Mr. Bashkalope.
The bananas. Get some bananas.
Yeah, we want to get some bananas. How much are bananas?
For you, Luigi, special price.
Mm-hmm.
5 cents a piece, 3 for 25.
5 cents a piece.
You better get 3 of them.
Yeah, give me 3 of them, Mr. Bashkalope. Thank you. Hey, wait a minute. There's only 2 bananas here.
That's a 3 bananas.
No, there's 2 bananas here. You said 3 for...
I can explain on you.
Huh? Yeah.
That's a 1 banana, Angie.
Yeah.
That's a 2 banana, Angie.
Yeah.
1 banana, 2 banana, that's a 3 banana.
Yeah, that's... There's still 2 bananas.
I don't know.
You keep quiet and go, it's 2 bananas.
That's somebody. You don't go to school or something?
Now, count them again, but that's... I want the 3 bananas.
That's a 1 banana, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a 2 bananas, don't you?
Yeah.
1 banana, 2 banana, that's a 3 bananas.
Yeah. That's 1 banana, what he says. 2 bananas, Angie. One and... Come on, now give me the 3 bananas here.
That's somebody.
I don't care. I'm not stupid, but I...
One banana, what? One banana, Angie. Two banana, Angie. One banana, 2 banana, that's 3 bananas. You got 2 bananas, Angie.
Maybe you got to sing it.
You got to sing it.
That's 1 banana, Angie. And that's 2 bananas. You got them, maybe. And 1 banana, and another banana. Is it? I only get 2 bananas out of this.
There's a 1 banana, Angie. There's a 2 bananas, what he said.
Yeah, this is a pretty song.
Yeah, 2 bananas and a 1 banana. That's 3 bananas.
This is 3 bananas?
Yeah. It's 3, 2, and 1 is 3. I can't.
1 banana is you. And it's a 2 banana, have you. A 1 banana and a 2 banana. Put them together. That's right.
3 bananas.
Hey, Mr. Bunchwood, have a banana.
Where's my banana?
Huh?
Where's my banana?
You eat the 3rd one.
I eat the third one.
Come on, Bunchwood. What is this?
Come on,
Bingo.
Yeah. Now let go of my pants. Come on.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
It's the Fabulous Geek Show.
All tied up, ready.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to Upper
Geek.
Hey,
Geek.
How are you, man?
JuicedTalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino
Nino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Just about ready for kickoff. Some of the players are kneeling down.
When those ungrateful traitors on the field take a knee,
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Fight back and stake a knee.
What? Oh my.
Whoa, what?
Don't take a knee, stake a claim, and zap a cap.
Bing!
A kneecap with stake a knee.
Bing!
Stake a knee is an Android or iPhone app developed by AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, Coke Industries, Pepsi, Kellogg's, General Mills, Coca-Cola, Papa John Pizza, KFC, Budweiser, Hobby Lobby, and more.
With your Stake in the app, you can zap a laser-sharp corporate logo of any one of those companies and reach tens of millions of NFL TV viewers.
Bing!
Zap! On the cap!
Bing!
That's right. Right on the cap of the exposed knee of the un-American protester you hate the most.
Bing!
That's right. Enjoy the feeling of revenge as those half-kneeling ingrates on the field unwittingly spread the comforting message of our shared real American values. And they'll never know it.
Bing!
Imagine Colin Kaepernick beaming out to the world Nestle's Quick on his knee while you know you put it there with your steak-a-knee.
Bing!
How does it work? Who cares? Don't take a knee. Stake a knee and zap a cap.
Bing.
Stake a patriotic claim on a knee with stake a knee. Stake a knee. Right from the comfort of your own couch. Right at your fingertips. Touch your screen, choose a logo, and zap.
Bing.
Right on the visible cap of Suggs, Evans, or Kaepernick's knee. When they take a knee. Stake-a-knee!
Bing!
Phone providers' minutes and data usage charges will apply while using Stake-a-knee. Stake-a-knee phone carriers and corporations worldwide are not responsible for disruptions in church services should Stake-a-knee be used on parishioners during prayer. Stake-a-knee is not responsible for anything.
I alone can fix it!
When you knew you couldn't fix it alone... And the feds and media aren't kidding. We've got you covered. Penultimate collusion. When the next to last door is wide open, we ensure the final one won't ever shut. With penultimate collusion insurance, you'll get partisan spin by friendly committee reps.
That doesn't help us a lot.
Fake news redirection.
No evidence of anything into five investigations on Capitol Hill. That's a pretty good trick.
And conspiracy theory diversion.
Welcome back to Hannity. Questions continue to swirl around the mysterious murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich.
You can rest securely knowing that a good portion of your premium always goes toward gerrymandering to ensure they'll never be enough votes to impeach you. And with penultimate, regardless of your history of corruption and even obstruction of justice, we'll never drop you for a pre-existing condition. If there is a there, you can count on our there. Penultimate Collusion Insurance. We're there when there's a there.
Collusion Insurance may void in California, Washington, and Oregon. Coverage does not include active enabling. A shift in party dominance in the Congress and or the Senate may void coverage. Collusion Insurance does not cover an act of God should you be struck dead by atmospheric conditions, including but not limited to lightning, mudslides, or flood.
Penultimate Collusion. There.
This is the artist D from ForCulture.com. In Wine the Truth? I believe so. You're listening to Tom Savino on SRN1 live. But be sure to hop over to JuicedTalk.com to download after this broadcast. That's JuicedTalk.com. Now, Tom, pour me another glass of wine and get back on my radio.
This is Tom Savino with Savino Veritas. You're listening to Savino Veritas live from Burbank, California. Heard every Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time at 148.ca/1. It's occurred to me the differences between the right and the left and how they look at the environment, how they look at the natural world. And I'm going to play a thing called The Miracle of the Wolves. Scientifically, biologically scientifically, environmentally scientifically, this little piece will be instructive, I hope, to many of you about how the environment is so codependent on everything in the environment is dependent upon each other. Each thing is dependent upon the other. And this little piece called The Miracle of the Wolves will illustrate that. But then I'm going to repeat it again. It's a very short piece. I'm going to repeat it again with reactions from the left, the progressives, and reactions from the right, or as I like to call them, the wrong, and their reactions. So you're going to hear this piece three times, first straight, then with the liberals, and finally with the conservative right. Let's listen to The Miracle of the Wolves.
In 1995, 14 wolves were released in Yellowstone National Park. No one expected the miracle that the wolves would bring. It started with the wolves hunting deer. This led to rapidly decreasing deer population. The wolves' presence also made the deer avoid parts in the park where they were easy prey. Thanks to the deer's absence, the flora in those parts started to regenerate. Forests of aspen and willow trees started to flourish. That's when things really started to happen. With more trees and bushes came more berries and bugs. As soon as that happened, various bird species started moving in. With the increasing tree population, also another species was attracted, the beaver. Previously extinct in the region, moved back. And the dams they built provided habitats for otters, muskrats, and reptiles. The wolves also killed coyotes. As a result of that, the numbers of rabbits and mice grew, which meant more hawks, red foxes, badgers, and weasels in the park. Even the population of bald eagles and ravens rose. But here's where it gets really interesting. The wolves changed the behavior of the rivers.
With more balance between predator and prey came the possibility of diverse species to thrive. So the wolves did not only transform the great ecosystem of Yellowstone, they changed the park's physical geography. In 1995, 14 wolves were released in Yellowstone National Park. No one expected the miracle that the wolves would bring. It started with the wolves hunting deer. This led to rapidly decreasing deer population. The wolves' presence also made the deer avoid parts in the park where they were easy prey. Thanks to the deer's absence, the flora in those parts started to regenerate. Forests of aspen and willow trees started to flourish. That's when things really started to happen.
What?
With more trees and bushes came more berries and bugs. As soon as that happened, various bird species started moving in. With the increasing tree population, also another species was attracted. The beaver.
Oh my!
Previously extinct in the region, moved back. And the dams they built provided habitats for otters, muskrats, and reptiles. The wolves also killed coyotes. As a result of that, the numbers of rabbits and mice grew, which meant more hawks, red foxes, badgers, and weasels in the park. Even the population of bald eagles and ravens rose. But here's where it gets really interesting. The wolves changed the behavior of the rivers.
What?
With more balance between predator and prey came the possibility of diverse species to thrive. So the wolves did not only transform the great ecosystem of Yellowstone, they changed the park's physical geography. In 1995, 14 wolves were released in Yellowstone National Park.
Sentimental hogwash.
No one expected the miracle that the wolves would bring.
I want to know about this.
It started with the wolves hunting deer. This led to rapidly decreasing deer population.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
The wolves' presence also made the deer avoid parts in the park where they were easy prey.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Thanks to the deer's absence, the flora in those parts started to regenerate.
If I may be so blunt, who gives a shit?
Forests of aspen and willow trees started to flourish.
It's never ending, your bullshit.
That's when things really started to happen. With more trees and bushes came more berries and bugs.
Who gives a shit?
As soon as that happened, various bird species started moving in.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
With the increasing tree population, also another species was attracted. The beaver.
Nice beaver.
Previously extinct in the region, moved back.
Who gives a shit?
And the dams they built provided habitats for otters, muskrats, and reptiles. The wolves also killed coyotes.
You don't want this getting into the wrong hands.
As a result of that, the numbers of rabbits and mice grew.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
Which meant more hawks, red foxes, badgers, and weasels in the park. Even the population of bald eagles and ravens rose.
I'm getting tired of that kind of talk.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Get this man out of here!
The wolves changed the behavior of the rivers.
No!
With more balance between predator and prey came the possibility of diverse species to thrive.
Believe it or not.
So the wolves did not only transform the great ecosystem of Yellowstone, they changed the park's physical geography.
You would need 3 promotions to get to be an asshole.
For the rich. Let's say Dan makes a $100 donation to his church. The United States has a problem with income inequality.
Things are much worse today in terms of inequality than they were 30 years ago.
The biggest threat to us as a nation is income inequality.
People have different ideas about why this is happening.
CEO pay climbs every single year without exception.
The United States has lost 5 million manufacturing jobs since the year 2000.
The big shifts that's happened in the economy that has led in part to a decline in union membership.
But one of the biggest drivers of inequality is hiding here in these 2,000 pages. It's the U.S. tax code. President Trump and Republicans in Congress have a plan to alter that code. And if they get their way, it'll get even better for the richest Americans. First, let's look at a few things that Trump and the Republicans don't want to change about the tax code. The charitable deduction and the mortgage interest deduction. Here's how they favor the rich. Let's say Dan makes a $100 donation to his church. He makes about $30,000 a year, roughly the median income for individuals in the U.S., which puts him in the 15% tax bracket. It means he would save, at most, $15 on his taxes. But let's say Dan's boss, Steve, makes the same donation to his church. Steve makes $500,000 a year, which puts him in the top tax bracket. And the same $100 donation could save Steve $39.60 on his taxes. Dan and Steve give the same amount to their church, but Steve saves more than twice as much. The higher your tax rate, the more the charitable deduction helps you. Small examples like this add up. People making $100,000 or more account for about 57% of all the charitable contributions in the U.S., but they get 76% of the tax benefits. This deduction is also really expensive. The U.S. spends $70 billion a year on it, more than 8 times what it spends on Head Start, the federally funded preschool program, and more than twice what it spends on Pell Grants for low-income students to go to college. Plus, there's all kinds of ways to bend the rules. Billionaire Mitchell Rales gets a tax break for donating his collection of modern art to a museum that he built right next door to his house, a museum that's closed to the public. But the worst thing about the charitable deduction? There's not great evidence that it works.
Turns out you don't need a tax break to encourage people to be generous to others. So in the 1980s, the top tax rate for the richest people was 70%, and through a series of reforms, it dropped to 28%. And the Council on Foundations is kind of the trade group for charities, said, oh my God, you do that, we're going to lose all our contributions. Guess what? No difference. People gave just as much with a much lower tax rate.
Australia, Finland, Ireland, Italy, Sweden, Switzerland, and New Zealand have all gotten rid of their deductions for charitable contributions, and that hasn't had an impact on donation rates. One easy way to make things more fair? Replace the tax deduction with a tax credit. If Dan and Steve both give $100 to their church, give them each a $15 tax credit. That's how they do it in Canada. A tax credit reduces the amount you owe, so the same donation gets the same benefit, no matter how rich you are. There's another tax deduction that's a boon for the wealthy.
The mortgage interest deduction costs about $100 billion a year to the Treasury. We could use that money to treat wounded veterans, to build hospitals, to build highways. But instead, we give it to rich homeowners.
Here's how it works. Let's say Dan buys a house for $100,000. He doesn't pay for that all at once. Each month, he writes a check to the bank for $1,000. Let's say $800 goes to paying for the house, and the bank keeps $200. That's interest. Dan writes 12 of these checks a year, so he pays $2,400 a year in interest. The mortgage interest deduction lets Dan subtract that interest from his taxable income, which could save him as much as $362. Nice, thinks Dan. That is, until he hears about Steve. Steve also buys a house for $100,000. He also writes a $1,000 check each month, paying $200 in interest. So after a year, Steve can also deduct the $2,400 from his taxable income. But that same deduction can save Steve more than $960, nearly three times as much as Dan for the exact same mortgage payments. It doesn't stop there. Steve can buy a second home, deduct the interest, and save even more. Or he can get a mortgage for his yacht, count it as a second home, and deduct the interest. Sorry, Dan, your fishing boat doesn't count. There are deductions everywhere. The money you lose from gambling? Deduct it. Fancy business dinners? Yep. Money you put in a retirement account? That too. You can even deduct the fees you pay an accountant to help you find more deductions. And while theoretically Dan could take advantage of these same deductions, the fact is, people like Steve benefit a whole lot more. People who make about $400,000 a year or more make up about 5% of taxpayers, but they get more than half the benefits from these tax deductions. Now, there's a third part of the tax code that Trump and the Republicans want to keep, and it's even better for the richest Americans than all of these deductions, the preferred rate for capital gains. Here's how it works. According to the U.S. tax code, there are two different kinds of income.
Earned income is when you go to work and somebody pays you a salary or a wage, a paycheck. That's earned income. And we have a whole set of income tax rates for that income that go up to 39.6%.
This is where Dan and Steve's tax rates come from.
Unearned income means guys who trade paper, guys who sell stock or buy commodities and then sell it. You know, invest in real estate properties and then sell them. That's capital income, and we tax that at a lower rate.
Let's say Steve earns $500,000 a year as a surgeon, and Lori earns the same amount as a hedge fund manager. Even though their income is the same, Steve's tax rate is 39.6%, but Lori's tax rate is nearly half that, 23.8%. So Steve ends up with a much higher tax bill. This is why billionaire investor Warren Buffett pays a lower tax rate than his secretary. His money comes from capital gains, while hers comes from a salary.
Debbie works just as hard as I do, and she pays at twice the rate I pay.
Ronald Reagan thought the same thing.
Reagan had been a very high bracket taxpayer. In fact, he paid at the 90% rate in the 1950s. He was a movie star. His accountant kept telling him, well, sign these documents and that'll shift your income from labor to capital income. And Reagan saw that that was hokey. Why should that be?
Reagan's landmark 1986 tax bill taxed capital income and labor income at the same rate.
In theory, some of those loopholes were understandable, but in practice, they sometimes made it possible for millionaires to pay nothing, but a bus driver was paying 10% of his salary, and that's crazy.
People said, oh my God, you can't do that. Then nobody will invest. Investment will plummet. It didn't.
This chart shows the value of the S&P 500, a stock market metric that measures how well big businesses are doing. After Reagan raised the capital gains rate in 1986, businesses continued to prosper. Reagan's successors, George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, also raised taxes on the wealthiest Americans. And the 1990s saw America's longest period of consecutive economic growth ever. But the changes that Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress want to make to the tax code look very different. While the Trump and GOP plans get rid of some deductions, neither gets rid of the charitable contribution or mortgage interest deductions. And both would lower taxes on capital income for people like Lori, the investment banker. And both plans would reduce the number of tax brackets from 7 to 3 and cut the top tax rate, which would mean big tax savings for someone like Steve and minimal savings for working and middle-class people like Dan. Rather than working to reduce the growing gap between the richest Americans and everyone else, these new tax plans would make that gap even wider.
Thank you so much for listening to tonight's episode, Alabama Laps Dance. And that's not easy to say, friends. And I hope you join us again here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, Thursday nights on SRN1 at 148.ca/1. And as always, 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com. I wish you all a wonderful Thanksgiving here in the United States. I'll be with my family giving thanks to SRN1 in Canada, and thanks to Frank Tolo, who gave me the opportunity to do this show, and the artist D, who generously posts Savino Veritas on juicetalk.com. And most of all, thank you for listening. Thank you so much. This is Tom Savino saying, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Peace. God
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.